की जाए, गंगमय जमुन देवी की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलसी महारानी की जाए, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेम All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve. Gauravani Pracharane. Nivasesa Sinyavani Bhaskachade Sitarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha. Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaditam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya December 24th, 2012, in Chennai, India. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam
Satatam kirtayanto mam
Yatantascha dridavrataha Namasyantascha mam bhaktya Nityayukta upasate Satatam, always, kirtayantaha, chanting, mam, about me, yatantaha, fully endeavoring, cha, also, dridavrataha, with determination, namasyantaha, offering obeisances, cha, and, mam, me, bhaktya, in devotion, nityayuktaha, perpetually engaged, upasate, worship. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So here Krishna is describing the activities of the Mahatma. So the previous verse, he said, Mahatmanas tumam pratar daivim prakriti mashritam. The great souls, they take shelter of the divine energy. And then you might say, well, what do they do? Because some people may think that when you're under the shelter of the divine energy, you're simply inactive. So here he's giving the activities of the Mahatmas. Now these are both the activities that symptomize someone who's already a Mahatma, and they are the activities by which one can become a Mahatma. So translation. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. So what did Prabhupada say one should glorify? Does anyone remember? Pastimes and? Name and? Paraphernalia, qualities, and one more?
Holy name.
Holy name, yes, and one more?
Form.
One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if one wants to be a Mahatma, one should be absorbed in thinking about and speaking about Krishna's what? Form, pastimes, activities, qualities, and name. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any of the five transcendental rasas. So that's his goal. He wants to be with Krishna in one of the five rasas. What are the five rasas? Santa, just peacefulness, reverence, and dasya, servitorship, and sakya, friendship, and vatsalya, parental, and madhurya, conjugal. Go on. To achieve that success, who would like to achieve, who here, please raise your hand if you want to associate with Krishna eternally in one of the five rasas. No? Not interested? There in the back? What do you want? If you don't want that, you have to consider what you want then. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. So here is the secret. One should engage one's body, one's senses, one's mind, and one's speech. Mind means three areas: thinking, feeling, willing. So I should do things for Krishna, speak about Krishna, think about Krishna, feel emotions for Krishna, and have determination for Krishna. Now we're going to go on to the aspect of willing. Continuing with the purport. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. So the Mahatmas say, if you want to come and be with Krishna in the transcendental world, these are the things you should do. Going on. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. So, it's possible to get water. So one should not be doing this, although it says dridavrataha, a vrat. It's not supposed to be done morosely. One should not be, oh, I'm doing my vrat for Krishna. So austere, all this. No, it should be done happily. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha juravrataha namasyantascha mam bhakcha nityayukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So today, being Vaikuntha Ekadasi, we are going to focus on this Dridhavrataha. It's a very determined vow. And vrat is generally understood to mean fasting, correct? When someone says, I'm going to do a vrat, you understand they're going to fast. They're going to give up something. Now, generally, when we give up something, we think that's not a very happy thing. But here Prabhupada says it should be done happily. So how is that? How can we give up something in a happy mood? So all of us, every day, we give up something in a happy mood, actually. We have experience of this. Maybe we have some friend or some family member, and there is some festive occasion in relationship to our friend or family member. Oh, thank you. Maybe it is their birthday or anniversary or something like that. So we may do some special program for our friend or family member, correct? And to do that, we have to give up something. We give up some of our time. We spend some of our money. We use some of our intelligence. How to make a nice festival for our family member or our friend. And while we are doing that, we are in a happy mood. I'm doing this for my friend. I'm doing this for my family member. I'm doing this for someone I love. And what is our happiness? When the person for whom we are doing it, they come and they're enjoying it. We all have this experience, yes? When the person we love, they come and see all the arrangements we've decorated, there's flowers, there's special food, everything is especially clean. So many guests have come and they say, oh, you've done this for me. And then we feel that everything we have given up in order to please this person was well worth it. We found that we got more than we gave. And therefore we repeat these sort of things over and over again. Just like those of us who have children, we're giving so much to our children. But we can do that in a happy mood. We're enjoying their happiness. So in this way, this vrat should be done for Vishnu, for Krishna. If we are doing vrat simply for ourselves, it may not be particularly pleasant. If one is thinking, I am taking this vrat, I am doing this fasting, so I can attain liberation, or so I can get out of financial difficulty, or something like that, then it will be difficult. We will feel it as painful. But if we think, I am doing this for Krishna, so why is Krishna interested in fasting? Why would that make Krishna happy? Of course, Krishna also likes it when we are feasting. In Bhakti Yoga, we have so many feasts. This is not the kind of yoga where one goes to the Himalayas and only eats some berries found in the forest. Like they say, if there's a Shraddha ceremony among the sages in the forest, who cares for it? It's not going to be anything. They're just going to pick some forest berries. But Bhakti Yoga is not like that. In Bhakti Yoga, we offer beautiful dishes to the Lord, great variety of food. So Krishna likes that when the devotees are feasting. But why does he want us also to do fasting? This is because, my dear friends, our attachment to this body and to this world is a kind of disease. Really, this body we have, it's like a very heavy weight. It's unnatural for the soul. It is simply the result of our desire for illusion. It is the gross form of our illusion, as nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, that we get a set of senses grouped around the mind, and the mind is simply attracted by material sense objects. To have a gross body and a material mind is an artificial disease condition for the pure soul. The pure soul's needs, Prabhupada says in the first canto, is freedom. We are all desiring freedom. And we think we will get freedom just by changing from a kingdom to a democracy. But still people are not totally happy, isn't it? Anybody totally happy with their democratic governments? No. We want freedom by going to other planets, by going in a spaceship, or by flying in an airplane. But that is not full freedom. We want full freedom to go anywhere and do anything. That is our natural position as a soul. And therefore to weaken and finally break our attachment to this body and mind gives great pleasure to us and great pleasure to Krishna. Just like if your friend is addicted to some intoxicant, if they are a heroin addict or an alcohol addict or maybe a gambling addict or a pornography addict, if someone you love is addicted to something that is harmful for them, so you would be very, very happy if they take a fast from their addiction. That would give you happiness. So Krishna feels happy whenever we remove ourselves from material attachments, because these attachments are causing us nothing but pain. Some sparshtaja, the happiness that comes from touch, actually dukkha yoni, it is the source of misery. So we have at least some times where we practice not only withdrawing ourselves from sinful activities, but even withdrawing ourselves from basic bodily necessities. So the ultimate ekadasi fasting is one fast from food, water, and sleep. So this is the highest fasting. One doesn't eat anything, one doesn't drink anything, and one doesn't sleep for 24 hours. During that time, one should be engaged in satatam kirtayantamam. One should be engaged in chanting of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. One should be engaging one's bodily activities in service. A time just for focused and concentrated service. So this concept is there in all the religions of the world. The Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews, they have a once a week Sabbath. And the concept is that you don't do ordinary work and you're engaged simply in spiritual or religious activities. So ekadasi has the same kind of function. If we were ever to have actually a Vaishnava society, then there would be a government holiday every ekadasi. So if you cannot do full fasting, if you cannot fast from food, water, and sleep, then maybe you can just fast from food and water. If you cannot do that, you can just fast from food. If you cannot do that, you can fast from the main food, grains. So especially in this part of the world, that means no rice. No rice in this part of the world, that's almost like death, huh? Where I come from, we are a wheat-based society, not a rice-based society. But to give up the grains, wheat, rice, barley, and the main dal, beans, pulses, like that, and eat very, very simple food. So that is the minimum rut, is that one eats simple fruit, does some milk products, fruits, vegetables. Better than that, no food. Better than that, no food, no water. Better than that, no food, no water, no sleep. Whatever one can do practically in one's life. But the main thing is not just to weaken this tie to illusion, but to strengthen the tie to reality. We are not simply interested in cutting, we are interested in joining. Yoga. Yoga means to join. So the main function of this day is not so much what you don't do, the main function is what you do. So today for Vaikuntha Ekadasi, we are going to have a special program of worshiping the Lord. And we request everyone, whatever chanting, study you do, please increase on this day. Take some time, take some effort with the body, with the mind, with the words, on the mind, with the thinking, feeling, and willing to strengthen our connection with the reality beyond illusion. And if we do that, we follow in the path of Mahatmas, and as Prabhupada says here, then achieving that association with the Lord in Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan, is definitely assured. Thank you. Hare Krishna.